Turn in your Bible, please, for the reading from the message this morning. Joshua, again in chapter 15. Brief reading in verses 13 through 20. Joshua 15 and 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shenai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer, and taketh it, to him will I give Aksha, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksha, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. Turning now to our search in Joshua's record of a faithful generation, our search to find those lessons to our souls which the Holy Spirit of our God has set out for us to learn, to the intent that we too may come to be a faithful generation. We come again to this 15th chapter. On last week, we had begun to look at this astonishing account in chapter 15 and verse 13 through 20, of the curious and exciting story of Caleb's shocking manner of conquest of this part of his inheritance. You'll remember the story as it is laid out here in what I think is an amazingly short historical narrative retelling the history of Caleb's method of taking this place, Kirjath Sefer, Debir. And he proposes to give his daughter in marriage to the man that should take this place. And so Othniel rises to the occasion and takes it. On last week, I drew your attention from this text first to a young man whose heart, I said, was set on noble purposes. thought it was interesting. Dean yesterday sent me a text, said that he hoped, God willing, to be here next week. And he said in his text, I'm trying to lash myself to some principles and purposes. Clearly, he had heard the message. I told you last week about a young man whose heart was set on noble purposes, exercised in preparations to future usefulness, Othniel. And then secondly, I introduced you from this text to a yielded young woman whose heart was settled in noble practices, exercised in planning for future blessedness to her own family and beyond. I introduce to you Axa. Now today, from this short text of Scripture, I'd like to fix our hearts for just a few moments on an old man whose heart and hand is abundantly supplied in noble provisions to all who look to him for help. We've seen a young man whose heart was set on noble purposes. We've seen a young woman whose heart was settled in noble practices. But now I set before you an old man whose heart is abundantly supplied in noble provisions to all who look to him for help. First in the record, we have his provisions for Othniel. Othniel was obviously in need of a good wife. But also he was surely in need of an opportunity. An opportunity to both display and exercise the magnanimity of his soul, created and cultivated as it had been by Jehovah his God. He had need of but this one opportunity, this one open door, and Caleb had both the wisdom and the courage to provide it. Secondly, in our record, we have Axa. Axa had need of a husband. A man who could be equal to her sterling character and her stately strength. A man of might and courage, but also of wisdom. Caleb had just such a man in his army. Later we learned that Axa had need of greater lands, more resources, and larger supplies. Caleb had exactly what she needed. But thirdly, there's yet a third party for whom Caleb's supply is abundant and gracious, albeit these are not specifically mentioned here in our text. But later, in chapter 21 and verse 13, we learn that Caleb gave this city, Hebron, and Libna to the priests of Aaron with their suburbs, it says in chapter 14, verse 13. He gave these cities with their suburbs for cities of refuge and residence for the priests. This is an old man whose heart and hand is abundantly supplied in noble possessions to all who look to him for sustenance. I hope your heart this morning needs very little help from me to see the blessed lesson here in the parallel between this type, Caleb, and the anti-type, our own Heavenly Father. But can I just suggest some thoughts to your mind from this text. First, notice with me that in the case of Othniel, Caleb had been faithful. In the case of provision for Othniel in this text, in this moment of time, Caleb had been faithful. Faithful to his daughter in preparing her. You see, when we come to this portion in verse chapter 15, all of this didn't happen in a moment. Caleb had been rearing and grooming a daughter. She's introduced to the text quite suddenly, I realize, but she didn't suddenly appear out of nowhere. No, she is the daughter of Caleb. She is a young lady whom Caleb, as a father, has made preparation to her and to her life. So that in the case of Othniel and his need for just such a woman, Othniel was to be the recipient of Caleb's faithfulness. Faithfulness even before Othniel knew him. Not hard to see where I'm going with this. Caleb had been faithful, and Othniel will be the recipient of the benefit of that faithfulness. Oh, how faithful has been our Caleb, our father, long before we knew him, before we ever were, he was faithful. The Lord said to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." And the Lord declared to Israel in Isaiah 49 and verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." There's a wonderful Hebrew word there. I studied it out, that word translated in our King James Bible, continually. It's a wonderful Hebrew word. It literally means to stretch something continually, to stretch it continually. He said, your wall, my wall, thy walls have been stretched continually before me. Oh, can I just set Caleb here before your mind this morning as a supplier to Othniel, as a lesson of our God's infinite, eternal provision. Some would preach the gospel as if God introduced salvation as an afterthought. But it is not so. Oh, our Caleb has been making eternal provision. He has graven our names on the breastplate of our high priest, Exodus chapter 39 and verse 6, long before the world was ever made. Oh, you hear me quote it often, and I do love it, the words of that hymn, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not. This heart would still refuse thee, hast thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin which stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee. 'Twas sovereign mercy found me and taught my opening mind. The world hath else blinded me. Eternally, he has made provision for me." But not only this, but also in time. Listen now. Remember the narrative. Remember the story. In time, at the right time, Caleb sent forth a message which by his design will be effectual to rouse Othniel's heart to answer the call and change his life forever. Oh, hallelujah. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? Oh, blessed be the name of our Caleb that sent out a call that by the work of his Holy Spirit set on fire every nerve in my soul to respond without delay. Our Caleb sent out a message that he knew would be effectual. Turn us. Oh, I might stand and say in the two little simple, short and wonderful words given to us in this narrative regarding off the hill, the Bible simply says, and he took it. Oh, the message came, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in my soul, I took it. I took it. How well David Benham said it all in the mid-1800s when he wrote these words. Chosen of God, ere time begun, his sovereignty we prove, with Christ our head accounted one in bonds of covenant love. Chosen as sons and heirs of God, our names are there in heaven. Chosen into life through Jesus' blood, our sins are all forgiven. Chosen to run the heavenly race, the glorious prize to gain. Chosen to persevere through grace, we shall the crown obtain. Thus chosen, we shall surely meet on Zion's heights above and stand before the Lord complete, unblameable in love. Chosen because of the preparations that our Caleb has made. But oh, then Augustus' top lady completes the thought when he says this. What though I cannot break my chain or e'er throw off my load? Though I cannot break my chain or e'er throw off my load, the things impossible to men are possible to God. Who shall in thy presence stand or match omnipotence? Unfold the grasp of thy right hand and pluck the sinner thence. Faith to be healed I fain would have. Might it now be given. Thou canst the sinner save and make me meet for heaven. Bound down with twice 10,000 ties, yet let me hear thy call. My soul in confidence shall rise and break through all. When the soul hears that effectual call, thou canst overcome the heart of mine. Thou wilt victorious prove. For everlasting strength is thine, and everlasting love. Oh, when my heart heard that call, it broke through all its chains. By the operation of his Holy Spirit, none can withstand him. None can withstand him. Matthew Henry said of Caleb here, verse 14, Matthew Henry said, Caleb drove out all before him, even these giants. The strength of their stature could not keep up the courage of their minds, but even with the countenance of lions, they had the hearts of a hare, scared as a rabbit. Why? Oh, because Caleb drove out everything in front of them. Blessed be our God, such as it. Efficacy of His grace, such as the power of His salvation, that when He comes to bestow it, He drives out every giant, and they fall before Him. Said Isaac Watts, the Lord of glory reigns. He reigns on high. His robes of state are strength and majesty. This wide creation rose at His command, built by His word, established by His hand. Long stood His throne ere He began creation, and His own Godhead is the firm foundation. God is the eternal King. Thy foes in vain raise their rebellion to confound Thy reign. In vain the storms, in vain the floods arise and roar and toss their waves against the skies. Foaming at heaven, they rage with wild commotion, but heaven's high arches scorn the swelling ocean. Ye tempests, rage no more, ye floods, be still, and all the world submissive to His will, built on His truth, His church must ever stand. Firm are His promises, and strong His hand. See His own sons when they appear before Him, bow at His footstool with fear and adore Him. Oh, bless His holy name. Our Caleb has made provision. He has made effectual provision. He has been providing from all eternity for us. But now, I must move quickly, not only to show you His hand was abundant in provision for Othniel, but His hand was abundant in provision for Aksa as well. He has provided, and might I be allowed to use this somewhat modern phraseology, He has provided right under her very nose, everything her life could ever need or her heart could ever desire in providing Othniel. Hallelujah! He has provided, let me say it again, right under her very nose, everything her life could ever need or her heart could ever desire in providing Othniel in His army and in His wise maneuverings of grace. But if that were not enough, she comes to Him yet again in verse 19 and needs more. And He gives her more than her mind could ever conceive. Give me a blessing, she said, for Thou hast given me a dry land. Give me also springs of water. And He gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Oh, it's Kyle and DeLeach. I thought it was interesting in the Hebrew text. Kyle and DeLeach who point out to us that while Joshua's account here calls it a field, Judges 1:14 designates it the field. You see, it was a very definite, special field. One with springs in both the upper ground and the lower ground. In other words, there was water that would never fail in that land. Oh, here surely is a word to our hearts of the glory, of the splendor, of the grandeur, of the magnitude, of the sheer immensity of our Father's provisions. He never serves His children with a clenched fist. never serves his children with a clenched fist. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Oh, give, and it'll be given to you, running over. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end, him that's able to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. The psalmist said in Psalm 36 and verse 8, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore thy children are men, the children of men apart, sorry, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Somebody said this, and I wrote it in the margin of my Bible at that text of Scripture, Psalm 36 and verse 8. I wish I'd written down who said it. I don't know who said it, but somebody said this. He said the elusive vapor that men chase outside of Christ will be condensed into a proverbial Niagara Falls of pleasure once Christ has taken up his reign in the heart. The elusive vapors that the world chases after shall be condensed into a proverbial Niagara Falls when Christ has taken his place in the heart. I'm talking to you this morning about the abundance of his provision for Isaac. Oh, blessed Caleb. It was this Caleb, our Heavenly Father, who said to Solomon of old in 1 Kings 3 and 13, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. Aksa got more than she asked for. The Lord said to Solomon, I've given you more than you asked me for. Can I just tell you, that's the nature of our kingdom. He always gives more than we can ask. Oh, I remember. Do you remember that conversion moment? Do you remember when you came to Christ first? I didn't anticipate anything in the way of abundant provision beyond that moment. At that moment, condemnation, the Spirit of God had wrought his work in such a way that all I could see was my condemnation. And when I came to him, my only plea was mercy, Lord, mercy. All I could see or think was just for mercy. But oh, he came and he called out and he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah. He brought far more than I was asking for. Mercy. Mercy and abundant provision. Caleb has provided for Aksa far more than she ever asked. Matthew 7 and verse 11 says, if ye then being evil, if you human beings being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and surely Caleb did. Surely Caleb did. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Possess Malon. How much more? It's translated in the Greek, it's much greater degree. In how much greater degree shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, surely there's a practical word here. Surely there's a practical lesson here for us as earthly fathers as well. Blakey gives it to us when he says, we contrast Caleb here with Saul as a father. In no such fashion was David treated by his father-in-law after his brilliant victories over the Philistines. So far was he from acquiring a field or a fountain that he did not even acquire his wife. 1 Samuel 18 and 19 said, it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the wife. Caleb had another spirit about him. He had the heart of a father. He had a genuine interest in his daughter and in his son-in-law, and desired to see them comfortable and happy. Kindly and large-hearted, he at once transferred to them valuable possessions that a greedier man would have kept for himself. Evidently, he was one of those godlike men that enjoy giving, that have more pleasure in making others happy than in multiplying their own store. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, and tendeth to poverty. Blakey said, all human generosity is but a drop of the ocean of divine bounty, a faint shadow of the inexhaustible substance. No good thing will the Lord withhold, the scripture tells us in Psalms. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. Matthew 3 and verse 10, Prove me now, wherewith saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Prove me now. Oh, your thimble of need can't possibly hold God's bucket of provisions. In this, as in all things, let us imitate our heavenly Caleb. May it be said of our fathers, as was said by the Reverend Sharp at Thomas Baldwin's funeral, when preaching from Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, that says he was a good man. The Reverend Sharp said, among other things, in this poem, he was a good man. Those who knew him best will echo back with emphasis the praise. In every circle was his worth confessed, from that which brightened to his tender gaze, in his tender gaze, to those which hailed from far the steady blaze of his more public life, wide was the sphere of usefulness he filled. The distant rays of excellence like his diffused appeared, and wakened youthful minds to run the same career. Oh, he gave of himself. But now, I must say something. Let me point you finally to one more, to whom Caleb's hand was a vast supply of provision. I mentioned it earlier, not found in this text. That is God's workers, God's sanctuary. While Caleb's grant from Joshua, and thus from the Lord, did not require of Caleb to make this gift, yet give he must. Such was his heart that he will, in verse 14, slay giants to give to God's church, God's servants, God's needy people, refuge, cities of refuge. I'm going to say that again. Such was his heart that he would slay giants to give to God's needy people. Listen to Paul's testimony of that Philippian church to whom he wrote in chapter 4, verse 15. He said, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, that I desire fruit, that it may abound unto your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What a testimony. God gives to Caleb, who will slay giants to make provision for God's servants, to make provisions for God's work, to make provision for God's kingdom. Let me ask you this morning, please be honest in the sanctuary of your own heart. Are you prepared to risk life and limb to see God's house furnished? To see a city of refuge set out for desperate souls? Or are your personal interests too great? Are we too much like those whom the prophet condemned in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2 when he said, this people say, the time is not come to build the Lord's house. The time is not come that the Lord's house should be built. Well, says the prophet, is it then time for you, O ye, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lay waste? Caleb would slay giants to see God's people provided for. I wonder, really, what any of us would do. Now this morning, I would, if I could, turn your hearts finally to one other group of persons in this text to whom I have as yet intentionally not referred at all. I have told you of a young man whose heart was set on noble purposes. I've told you of a young virtuous woman whose heart was settled in noble practices. Then I talked to you this morning about one old man whose heart and hand is supplied with noble provisions. But now, I cannot leave this text without a notice of these Anakims, these old enemies, whose hearts were saturated with pride, whose obstinate impenitence makes their judgment certain. Look at verse 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, the children of Anak. I bring your attention to this fourth group, these persons who receive the judging attention of Caleb. Their judgment was certain. These, as I said before, you will remember, have already, I didn't say it today, but I said in a former message, these have been driven out by Joshua before, but somehow escaped and eluded capture. And in their pride and haughty rebellion, they returned, no doubt, believing themselves, this time, beyond God's reach. But now, the day of reckoning has come. Caleb has returned to claim God's promise. Now, will the sure judgment of God fall in these simple and succinct words, the matter is settled at last in the simplicity of these words, and Caleb drove them thence. I must not leave without saying a word to my dear, unbelieving sinner friend, unregenerate rebel. Come here and learn a lesson. Entertain no delusions, but that God will come. Caleb will come. And his wrath will find you out, and his hand will not be stopped. You will not be fortified in a city too strong for him to take it. To the prophet through the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 28 and verse 14, the prophet says, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing skirt shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow their hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand just the report. Just hearing the report will be a vexation. I'm telling you this morning, learn a lesson from these Anakims. Learn a lesson from these Anakims. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to be delivered. Caleb will come back. When he comes, he'll drive out everything before him. Oh. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say unto all, watch. Caleb is coming. Caleb is coming. Caleb is coming. And when he comes, there's no place to hide. Look to the Anakims here and learn a lesson today. Flee. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ, the only hope of refuge.